Now, in an interview today, Ringo Starr has revealed that he has detailed plans for his own funeral. So is this a helpful thing to do? Or is it unfair on the people left to mourn the dead? Henry McKean went to ask.
I actually think it's a good thing to do, actually, to plan your own funeral. Sorry the language. But I think it's a good thing to do. Actually, I'm thinking of doing it myself, actually, you know.
So you're thinking of writing down your funeral
plan? I'm thinking of going into Fannigan's here, and then that I live around the area. Going in and say, I want this and I want that, rather than give my sister or brother the problems of doing it, you know.
So what would you do for your funeral? What would you have?
Boxbury cremation.
Who would you like to do the homily? Who would you like to hear? What music would you like?
Maybe an old hymn or something like
so
that.
So you want to be cremated? Do you think you'll be going up to a greater being up there?
Hopefully. No one knows, but hopefully that's the answer. Right.
Were you good in life? Were you a nice person? Were you good to people on the way up?
I think I led a good life, yeah.
You think? Well, there's no skeletons there?
No, not really. No, thank God. No.
Better than weddings and parties.
And why are we better at funerals than weddings?
You just enjoy yourself better. Weddings are morbid, aren't they? Yeah, you get so tired and miserable, but funerals, you're just happy.
And why are funerals so happy?
Well, you celebrate our lives, don't you? Yeah.
Have you planned your funeral?
No, I leave that up to my daughter.
No, it's not something that I'd like to talk about. She's going to live forever. I'll go before her.
Do you think you'll live forever?
That's what she thinks, but see, she depends too much on me. And I'm always saying, don't depend, because I won't be always around. And she doesn't want to know, she doesn't want to listen, so.
Do you depend on her?
Yeah, very much.
So you'll be Devo when she's gone?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
She won't be laughing when I die, she won't be smiling.
I'm Gus Nichols, I'm Managing Director of Nichols Funeral Directors in Dublin. We're Dublin's oldest funeral firm. We started in 1814, so I'm the sixth generation of the family involved with what we do. In terms of funerals, Henry, we are at an interesting spot, interesting, I suppose, change of attitudes towards it. It's a little bit chicken and egg, I think, in terms of who influences who. Perhaps you could argue that funerals are catching up here with maybe the rest of the world, or certainly the rest of Europe, in terms of increased cremation rates, that's certainly on the rise. The non-religious funeral, I mean, obviously 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, the vast majority of funerals were church-based, and that's declining. And maybe that's just a catch-up. It's a reality check for us.
Gus, we're looking in today's papers, and Ringo Starr has said he wants people to sing at his funeral and he wants the Beatles to be played, which makes complete sense. When it comes to other people, some people plan their funerals, and over the years I have been to funerals where I've even heard the voice of the person that's died, and it really can be quite uplifting.
Oh, there's a lot to be said for it. And certainly, even from the point of view of, let's say, peace of mind, if you are the sort of person that makes a will or wants to leave instructions about A to Z, it does make a lot of sense to leave instructions about this aspect of it, because you could bet your bottom dollar it's the matter that will worry those left behind most in terms of how they deal with those couple of days and what choices they make.
And get it right. That's the thing. And people want to get it right.
They do. And they want now to reflect the person. So that means perhaps not choosing necessarily religious funeral, or being very specific about it and choosing one and saying, well, absolutely we want to have a church funeral, or alternatively something else. Even simple instructions go a long way to easing that difficulty for people. We'd certainly recommend it, and we have many, I suppose you could call it, files on record of people that have come in, left wishes, and been very specific about what they want. And once they've done it, you can tell they've relaxed, they've dealt with it, they put it out of their mind, and they really don't have to think about it again.
Yeah, I passed a major milestone on my birthday last year. I was 50. And maybe it's something that I should consider, possibly, to plan my own funeral. I'm more really into planning my own life, really, than the funeral. That's the big thing for me.
So you haven't planned out the music, you haven't planned out who's going to do the homily, what they're going to say?
There'd have to be a bit of humour in there. So I definitely have some night songs, but I might throw in a little curveball. I might put in something like Always Look on the Bright Side of Life as well. Something like that.
So you would go The Life of Brian, you would go Monty Python?
I think I would go a bit of humour there, because really, as I get older and into the journey in life, I mean, it is all, it's a lot of luck. life can be very stretched and torn, so you've got to have a sense of humour.
When it's a tragedy, when it's a, and it's a young couple, for instance, and they choose pop music, their favourite song, the family does, it can really, you know, upset people, but at the same time, bring that person, you know, their spirit. But you can feel their spirit. Would you welcome that? You know, pop music, maybe Madonna in the church?
I know churches have a difficulty with that. And I suppose it's their T&Cs, it's their rules and regs. And some clergy, regardless of denomination, are more flexible about that. I recall one a couple of years ago where we had Sid Vicious My Way in a church on the way out. And obviously I won't identify where it is. And I think that meant an awful lot for everybody who was there. Sometimes it doesn't work. Some pieces of music actually can be too sad. I mean, if you were to play Adagio in strings, I think it's one of the saddest pieces of music you'll ever hear. And if you hear that at a funeral, it's completely miserable. If you hear it at a funeral, really, you're going to struggle at the end of it. Obviously, specific artists, specific keys of music do hit the right note of at a funeral. And then you could pick, obviously, the most inappropriate songs you can think of and try and play them at a funeral. And probably most people would feel uncomfortable with that.
Why do the Irish love a good funeral? A lady just there I met said that she preferred funerals to weddings.
I think we're a big village. Even the towns are big villages. There's a community aspect of it. It's a social occasion. It's a chance to catch up. And I think that's probably why we say we're good at it. I don't think we're the unique culture that says, oh, we're very good at doing funerals. I'm sure other countries feel they're equally good. But I think the way it's seeped into the culture here, people have an expectation of funeral service. And when they go to one, they are looking for certain boxes to be ticked. Yes, if that means we're good at it, I'm glad to hear it.
Just make sure that you leave a few bob and everybody gets drunk. If it is, that's what he wants, I suppose. That's where he should go along with.
Ringo Starr planning the music. You know, you're saying you'd love to leave a few bob, so you would like to leave an inheritance to the kids and to the family.
Yeah, and let them choose the music and let them, you know, carry on wherever.
And do you have wads of cash hidden somewhere under
the
mattress?
Yeah, a fiver mattress. But like, you know, if you get a night out of it and you're gone, so that's the whole thing.
And is an Irish funeral all about the wake? Is it really a celebration?
It is actually a celebration. Yeah, it's a celebration of somebody's life. And if you can get all your friends and cousins together and family and you have a good send-off, what more can you ask for? That's the whole thing. So they all get a few beers, they can cry over you and then have a laugh.
Do you want them to cry over you?
No, not really.
How you do, don't you?
I don't know. I want them to have a good time.
Would you plan your own funeral?
No.
You're a sister.
Yeah.
You're a nun.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think about planning your own funeral?
No. Leave it to the others.
Leave it to the other sisters.
All right, have a good day.
I'm actually doing it as we speak.
You're planning your own funeral?
Yeah. The price of just open a grave is 14,000.
14,000
for buy the plot.
Plot at a graveyard?
Yeah.
14 grand.
14,000. Then it's a further 900 to get it opened. In other words, dug. Then you buy a coffin. You're talking 20, and then with a tombstone and border with marble. 21,000.
So the same price as perhaps maybe a Ford Focus in gunmetal grey?
Yes.
Expensive,
yeah. But don't forget, you're there for life, aren't you? About 20 other people I know who actually got there well before me, they got their plots at 4,000. They'd done it years ago. Get cremated, it's only with a full fire, family, two black cars and a hearse. 4,500. If you were to go the cheap route, which is cremation, two black cars, and your ashes are put into your mother and father's grave, that would cost you 4,500.
So you're not going to leave us anytime soon, are you?
I suffered a heart attack last year, sir, and I was given a second chance.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade.
Hey, go, Henry McKean reporting there. We're going to take a break after that. News from around the world.